Air Force came into the game leading the NCAA in time of possession at 37 minutes per game. San Diego State actually had the ball for more of the game than Air Force did. Air Force held to 28 minutes and 45 seconds. So that's just really, really good defense at a time where you're playing a tricky opponent at altitude, a team that had been playing well, that was fresh off a win against Boise State. Let's say hello to Chris Vanini of The Athletic. He covers college football with a special bit of attention paid to the group of five. He's very good with his time to the show. We appreciate it. Chris, Darren Smith, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Hey, when you can hold Air Force to a buck 92 in 28 minutes, I know it was a little bit of a wonky game there, you know, not one for the passing time capsule, I'm sure, but you're doing something right defensively when you can pull off those kind of numbers.
Yeah, and the kind of game that gets over pretty quickly, too, and given the delayed start time. Really nice for some folks, too. But, yeah, no, that was a low-key, huge win for San Diego State for people who don't follow it closely. Obviously, Air Force is 6-1 and near the top 25 coming in, and this has been the most dynamic Air Force rushing offense they've ever had under Troy Calhoun. I mean, they're rushing more and passing less than they ever had before, and for San Diego State to largely shut that down was a really impressive performance.
7-0, right, Chris? There are four Group of Five schools that remain undefeated. Cincinnati sitting up there at number two, won by a touchdown over the weekend. SMU, those two teams will face each other down the road. UT San Antonio and San Diego State. How do you sort through what's what here when it comes to the Group of Five programs?
Well, it's really just keep winning. I mean, other than, like you said, Cincinnati and SMU playing in late November, these teams don't play each other. You know, it's not like the Big Ten situation where you have Michigan State playing each other and Ohio State and Penn State, you know, playing soon. This is you just win your games and see where you are at the end. I mean, it's unlikely they will all finish undefeated. Obviously, one of them at least won't. And as it comes to getting that top Group of Five spot, you just win your games and you hope Cincinnati drops one somewhere. It's certainly possible. Obviously, Cincinnati, you know, struggled a bit with Navy this past weekend, so you never know what could happen. And given all the upsets going on this season, you know, it's a cliche for coaches to say they're just focused on themselves and just focused on winning. But at this point, that's all you really can do.
Chris Vanini, The Athletic, is joining us on Extra 1360. So, Chris, I wouldn't ask you necessarily to explain how these projection sites. I was on ESPN earlier today. They have a projection site for how each team is going to finish, et cetera. And I raised my eyebrows that San Diego State, at least in their projection output, has about a 40% chance of winning the Mountain West. I don't know how they came up with that, but I wonder what you've seen from San Diego State, knowing that they have Fresno upcoming this week at 7:30, knowing Nevada's a couple of weeks down the road, knowing those are two high-profile offenses with brand name quarterbacks. I wonder, you know, how you see San Diego State over its remaining five.
Yeah, I mean, plus Boise State, plus a trip to Hawaii. Mm. So this is a very difficult schedule the rest of the way out. On one hand, you say low-scoring games are more likely to stumble somewhere, but defense travels. It's always been the defense with this team. And given the losses they had, especially the defensive backfield coming into the season, it's been really impressive the way they've been able to recover for that. And in the Fresno State game this week, probably the biggest Mountain West game of the year, outside of the conference championship game. So, you know, that offense with Jake Haener, they beat Nevada last week in a really exciting game. And the Mountain West is a deep, deep conference. I know the American always gets the attention, and especially now with realignment, but the Mountain West, you know, coming into the year, I think those of us who pay attention figured it was going to be the best Group of Five conference. And I think you're going to see that now with these, the game we got last weekend, obviously the two we just talked about, and all the games coming up in the San Diego State schedule. 40% chance to win the conference. I think it's pretty good odds given everything that's still in play here.
By the way, I also love this about the conference as well. Where else in America can you go from altitude against 350 a game on the ground, 37 minutes time of possession, to third in the NCAA in passing yardage back at sea level in Carson, California this week? It shows you a little bit the range that the Mountain West Conference has. Not that I'm putting it up there amongst the better conferences in the country, Chris, as you know. It's just going from one week where you have to defend and learn how to and know what it is, be disciplined enough to face an Air Force team, and then see the complete opposite 7 days later really speaks to everything you got to deal with in the conference.
Yeah, it's a really difficult conference, and it had been down for a few years, but teams like Fresno State getting back to where they were puts the conference in a really good spot until you get concerned about maybe knocking yourself out of that group of five spot if they all beat each other. But it's a conference unlike, I mean, obviously because of Hawaii too, it's really unlike any other conference in college football in terms of the various places and styles you have to play against.
Seems like there's been a little bit of chatter, and we saw what the AAC announced last week in terms of bringing different programs back into its mix, Chris. We talked about this here with you, as a matter of fact, about the Mountain West Conference for the programs saying, hey, thanks, but no thanks to the AAC. If you were the Mountain West at this point, is there anything out there that you see that's actually worth adding or considering adding in terms of programs into the conference itself?
Well, they looked at all those Texas schools, and in the end, they didn't see value in terms of, you know, what it was going to do for their television deal, which is pretty good right now. It's about $4 million a year. It's only behind the American, probably only a little bit behind what the rest of the American's going to be. So they didn't feel like they needed to force anything. The American took the opposite approach, which was take a big risk and take all of those schools, add six schools. And you know, I had talked to some of those schools, and they were more interested in the Mountain West than the American. But the Mountain West decided that it was in a comfortable position and doesn't feel like it wants to get too big, doesn't feel like it wants to essentially water itself down in its eyes. And clearly the TV partners didn't think that as well. So it's going to stay put. And you know, obviously there's been some consternation within the league, you know, Colorado State and Air Force specifically about looking to leave. But now that the Americans at 14, I'm not sure how much bigger they're going to get either. So it's an interesting kind of spot between those two leagues now.
Right. I agree with you. And you know, I remember this when the topic of Pac-12 expansion came up. You know, some of the people who work for the Pac-12 are like, we're not just going to add for the sake of adding, because that doesn't necessarily increase the size of the slices of pie for everybody involved here. And what you don't want to do is decrease revenue for your school. So how does that all make sense for the AAC, the schools that they brought in last week?
I don't know. They are pretty confident that that they are going to keep the money similar, at least for the eight remaining schools. The six that are coming in are expected to get much lower amounts of money, but there are more of them. There are three going out and six coming in. And you do have, you know, $30 million plus in buyout money coming from Cincinnati and UCF and Houston. So that'll supplement it for a little bit, but that doesn't last very long. So I'm not quite sure how or why the American thinks its TV deal will largely be okay, but they seem to think that.
It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like everybody stands to make a little bit less. Chris Vanini here for another minute. You've probably seen more Fresno State than most of us. We remember a couple of exciting games. They lost on the road to Oregon. They had a great win against UCLA. They've held their own against Power 5 competition as well. Tell us a little bit about Fresno State as we get set for an exciting week in that one.
Yeah, obviously, you know, not only one of the best passing offenses in the country behind Jake Haener, but Ronnie Rivers at running back is a guy who's been there for a while, very talented back. It's a team that can score on you in a lot of ways. They went out. They actually lost to Hawaii out in Hawaii. So it's another example of how difficult, you know, that trip can be. But yeah, this team took Oregon to the limit. Came back to beat UCLA. Just beat Nevada in a pretty high scoring game. I'm curious how the how the defense will go, because last week Nevada quarterback Carson Strong threw 61 passes for almost 500 yards, completed 80% of his throws. Now, he is a NFL type quarterback, and obviously San Diego State doesn't have that, but that's why I'm curious, you know, if San Diego State will be able to move the ball in a different way, considering what Nevada was able to do on that side of the ball. So it's a real complete mix of styles here, you know, big explosive offense against one of the best defenses in the country, and it's a pretty exciting matchup.
And I think that the old oil can is underrated in terms of a college football rivalry trophy as well. I'd like to see the old oil can get a little bit more recognition, maybe a little more national coverage, Chris, if you can help us out with that.
Yeah, the Mountain West has some cool rivalry trophies that don't get a lot of attention. There's the milk can or the milk jug. I forgot exactly what that is between Fresno and Boise State, I think. So Yeah, there's some underrated rivalry trophies in there.
Hey, what do you got a quick thought on what we saw this past weekend? Not speaking about the Mountain West, about a 9 overtime game. And you think that's what people were thinking when they tweaked the overtime system in college football?
Well, I thought they thought people would score. That was the point. The point of moving it was to make games shorter because they would score. It'd be one thing if they scored in 5 straight overtimes against each other. Then you would have even more of a reason to tweak the rule. But the fact that they didn't score, that doesn't make you want to give them more plays, essentially. So I don't like it, but I get it. I don't like starting in the third overtime. A couple years ago when they made the rule, I think they started at the fifth or fourth. That's where I think it should start. I don't think it should start at the third overtime because it's a weird way to lose a game on a single play. I'd almost prefer a soccer shootout. Maybe you give each team 3 tries as opposed to 1-1 when you get to that point.
What do you mean 3 tries? 3 tries from the 2-point conversion line?
Yeah. You do 1-1, each take a shot, but you each get 3 attempts, and then you see what it is at the end. Like a real shootout as opposed to
one and one
and then it's done. You know, like hockey or soccer, you get 5 tries or 3 tries before you add it up. I'd like to see that, I think.
I like that. That would be improvement. Chris Vanini for commissioner of the NCAA. Chris, thank you very much.
Yep, thanks for having me.
You got it. Chris Vanini, go check him out online at theathletic.com, the website. He spends a bunch of time, covers college football as a whole. You know, you'll see him at some Power 5 games from time to time, but I'm unaware of anybody on a national level who covers Group of 5 conferences better than Chris Vanini. When we come back, you'll hear from Brady Hoke, who was on with Steve this morning. You'll hear that. We'll get to